It's 6:30. I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. I'd like to welcome everyone to the September the 7th, 2017 meeting. Can't believe it's September already. Like to...
September what?
Seventh.
I thought you said 17th.
Seventh. Like to open the meeting with a prayer with Pastor Womack, please.
Speak of our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the community you've given us to live in and the community you've given us to serve in. And Lord, I know 9/11 is just right around the corner, so Father, we do continually pray for our armed forces and our first responders. And Lord, as we remember what happened that day, how it took a tragedy to bring our country together, I pray, Father, for the tragedies that are happening right now with the hurricane threats and the fires. But Lord, we live right here in a wonderful township. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit, I pray, Father, please, that we would be able to come together with unity, transparency, and integrity, all for the better of this community. So, Father, I thank you for our trustees. I thank you for all the people that are here tonight. And, Lord, I pray that we would be able to come together and be one. And our main focus would be the community. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Everyone to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, could we have a roll call, please?
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Here.
Thank you.
Approve the last minute. So we had the last?
No, not yet.
Okay. What minutes are we missing right now?
I still have to do last Thursday. I'm still working on last Thursday.
Okay.
So
we're missing?
Just last Thursday and the one we just had.
Okay. I'd like to table the minutes until the next meeting. Apparently, the last meeting she hadn't been able to get finished up yet. So
now, if I'm not mistaken, didn't we table them last time, and we have some that still have to be passed from the last 2 weeks ago?
I think we got all those.
We got all those. So the only one that we have is the one from the last meeting.
Last Thursday, the accounting one. I haven't gotten
which one?
Accounting or not accounting? The building department with Jessica. I never got any responses on that one, and then I'm still typing.
Okay, even if you don't get responses, you still bring it into the table to be voted on.
Oh.
If no one had, even if we don't answer by email, we still bring it in here.
Yeah.
I've looked through it, and I didn't see anything, and I was going to get back, and I didn't. But you would still bring it in. So
I just didn't want to print it out on the paper because the papers are numbered, and then you guys want to change something, and then...
Well, we still have to bring
papers.
It.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
So we don't get behind again and get a mess like we had before, for sure.
That's fine.
Mr. Horn?
Okay.
Resolutions are not on here. Is there a reason? I mean, it's not on our... Does it say resolutions like after 5?
No, she's just apparently just missed that.
So do you want to...
Let's go ahead and do those after the new business. We'll go ahead and do the resolution.
Before I start my resolutions, last week, or 2 weeks ago, the last meeting, it was brought to my attention with what I read off as Resolution 172-266, with the amount of $131,583.02 was different than what was on your paper that was out there. Basically by $47,167.25. Lisa is not here at this meeting. Ms. Rodriguez and I have tried to figure out where the difference is. I'm not taking this for gospel yet, as far as where is the difference in $47,000 from what we have here versus the checks that was written. There is one check that was to be written. It was to...
It was police and fire pension fund.
For $47,000. But I want to make sure that that check was written on that time period. So I'm going to hang on to this, and then the next meeting I will readdress this again to make sure that what I'm reading is matching what's on your paper, because how what was on my paper was different than what was on yours, I don't know. But I can't remember who brought it to my attention, but I was glad that they did. So, bills and payroll coming up. Resolution 17-274, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees, Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves payroll in the amount of $90,294.58 and bills in the amount of $102,005.39 from check number 44017 to check number 44128.
Do I have a second?
Yes, I'll second that.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. On Resolution 17-275, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees, Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves to pay, that's Finley, repair service in the amount of $10,101.50, and I think that's a repair on medic.
No, or engine.
No, that's
engine.
Our extra engine. That's the complete pump repair.
We've got that back, though?
Yeah.
That truck is back. Both trucks are back, and we're still waiting on the... It'll be a same alike bill for the next truck.
That was our 193, I believe.
Extra engine 193.
Extra, okay.
I'll second that.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Okay, Resolution 17-276, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees, Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves the Road Department to cut grass and weeds at 1976 Marsdale.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Resolution 17-277, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees, Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves the Road Department's cut grass and weeds at 1911 Marsdale.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Resolution 17-276, this is for the Road Department to cut grass and weeds at 1240 Eureka Park or Eureka Avenue.
Sir, was that 276 or are you talking 278?
Or 278, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's 1240 Eureka.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. 17-279 as to cut weeds and grass at 2389 Valley View Drive.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Don?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Okay, Resolution 17-280. That's to cut grass and weeds at 1060 North Hague Avenue.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Okay, 17-281, that's cut weeds and grass at 24 Broadlawn Avenue.
Do I have a second?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
17-282 is to cut the grass and weeds at 40 Broadlawn.
Do I have a second?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all the resolution. Anyone that plans on or needs anything to speak about later on in the meeting, would you go ahead and sign the board there, or the form there, please.
I don't have anything unless they bring something up that I want to talk about during the meeting.
Okay.
As far as anything in the past, I don't really have anything.
That's fine. Does anyone else want to sign? Okay. Thanks. Okay. I guess it's Chief Smith, brother. I purposely put you at the top there. You've been getting abused lately.
I have, and I appreciate that. Very kind of you.
Well, thank you.
I don't have a lot. I would like the board to give me a resolution to hire Roger Myers for the last full-time slot that we have available right now. He does have a lot of experience. However, even with that, there will be at least 2 months of training. So with that, we should make our deadline by the first of the year to go back to 3 shifts.
Okay.
You need to read off.
Yeah.
You know what your next resolution number is?
Yeah.
17-283.
Okay, resolution 17-283. Make a motion to have the police chief hire Roger Myers, right?
Correct.
As a new officer. When would that be effective?
You can make it effective today if you want, but it'll still be about 2 weeks.
About two weeks. Okay, next pay period?
That's when he'll officially...
Officially start.
He may start within a week, I don't know. If you want to use today's date, you can.
Okay, well, effective immediately.
September 7th.
Yeah, September 7th, 2017. So.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, sir.
That's it.
That's it?
That's all I got.
Nothing?
No.
You've been a good guy.
I have.
Yeah. A lot of runs and everything this time?
Yes.
Chief, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'll have the run steps.
Okay.
Next meeting.
Okay.
Chief, we have a
question. On behalf of my wife and I'd like to thank you for the courtesy you paid in taking care of our place while we're gone for 2 weeks.
Well, you're welcome.
My neighbors said they've never felt so comfortable. Uncomfortable as well. That applies to everybody in Franklin Township, I'm sure. The same courtesy.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Okay, Robin?
Chief.
Ma'am?
Yes. You know our house on El Paso, not the party house, but the drug house, Rocky's house.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, the people on Nathan caught on pretty quick about the cutting through on Nathan, so they stopped that.
Okay.
And they're actually walking the swipe on El Paso.
Really?
Saturday, I saw 3 different people going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Last night, again, this morning, again, it's very obvious they're coming, you know, because I drive real slow.
I mean, what's the time frame?
I mean,
I know it varies.
Well, over the weekend, it's all day,
okay.
During the day. Last night, I was coming home from work, and it was, you know, 6, 7 o'clock.
Okay.
This morning, it was 6:45.
Okay.
So it's all the time. And so they're now using El Paso.
Okay.
You know, they're walking in the road.
Right. Well,
yeah. So it makes it real obvious because you got to drive around them. Right. And then once you get to the straightaway, you just kind of stay slow enough and you see them turn in.
Okay.
You know, so I'm just letting you know that foot traffic's real apparent. And I think that whoever those houses are that are kind of buttoned up to, you know, mm-hmm. Plainview, have maybe cut those folks off from cutting through on Nathan.
That makes it easier for us.
Yeah, and so they're cutting through the big church, you mm-hmm. know, across the
right.
lawn. But just so you guys, if, you know, Columbus sits there at the church and you guys are on the township side, you just mm-hmm. might see some stuff. But it's really picked up over the since Saturday through today.
Get back to it.
So I just want to let you know, business is back in session.
That's it. There's not a recession anymore.
No. That's good. Yeah, and they sometimes walk in buddies, too.
Way to go.
Absolutely.
You promote that.
Safety first, going to a drug house. So. But it seems like they're picking back up again, just so you know.
Well, I, for one, have feel much better since we've got a few more people on the street. And again, I want to thank you for the effort you put in, long and hard evenings and nights and weekends and everything. And I just think with the short staff that we've had and the job that Byron's done, I hope everyone appreciates him as much as I do. He's done a great job.
Thank you. So.
The amount of hours that you put in, not paid for, being that you are salary, you kind of work like I do. But,
I know.
And it's, you do have a family, I think, still.
Somewhere.
But anyway, thank you very much, Byron. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Is there anything else for Byron before he sits down?
Yeah, Chief Smith and Chief Ross and John. Bill and I would like to thank you very much for showing up last Thursday night from Thanksgiving.
No worries.
Well,
you guys have been a big part of the township, and
absolutely.
It's like family, so I wanted to be at a meeting here that we had, but I wanted to be there, so, you know.
And I really appreciate all of you, and that just really overwhelmed Bill and I to see.
Well, didn't know it till after
thank
the fact,
so
Jim.
Much.
I would have been there for you, you know. So, we thank you very much, and sorry for your family's loss. We really are.
Today's her birthday, by the way.
Yeah, she would have been 100 years old.
Mr. Birthday.
She would have been 98.
She would have been 98.
98.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's quite.
He was overwhelmed. We had to make him just sit on the couch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we sort of, that's Joyce and the folks' mother is who this is. Jim, I'm sorry. Made it all the way to 98 there. Been nice to get her on one of them Smucker's jelly jars, wouldn't it?
She's already having a good time right now. So.
Well, thanks, Charlene. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anything else for Byron? Okay, let's see who's next. Mr. Stevens, I guess. I guess Chief Welch had to go first and last both, didn't he?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Really, the only thing I really had on the agenda was the resolutions for the House Bill 50, which you have already taken care of.
Okay.
Something came to a head today that we need to take care of. Every year, or we go through a period, the CDBG, which is a community development block grant program. They help us establish grants and go out and they look for grants and they get federal money. What they do is they go to all the different townships and cities and villages and they find out who all wants to be part of their program. And it is an agreement that we go into. It's time to renew our agreement with the CDBG, which is, like I said, they're the ones that help us do a lot of the grants that we look for. And this agreement here would be for program year 2018, 19, and 20, going through April of 2018 through March of 2021. I just need a signature on this, and we send that to them. And that allows us, when we're applying for grants, it actually helps us on our point basis.
Jim, have you had a chance to thoroughly digest that? And it does not affect if we find grants on our own or anything of that nature?
No, this is just a helping hand.
Okay.
That's pretty much what this
okay.
is. So I just need to get a signature.
And that's that one that's administered through Morrissey, I think.
CDBG is kind of, it's in hand in hand with Morrissey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw something on
I've used them when I did the grant for Harrisburg Pike.
Right, right.
Yeah. And it also helps us when we're doing the inquiring of homes through HUD and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So I just need a signature.
Yeah. We need just one. Or
yeah, you need to sign there. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
I think it was the last meeting I brought up the fact that we had some stuff, some old equipment, old radio equipment, everything out in the barn. We're trying to clean up out there to kind of
make things look a little bit better. I showed the three of you what all was out there,
right.
But we needed to make a detailed list of what it is.
Right.
This is a detailed list of what all is out there that we can actually dispose of. There's ways to dispose of it. Naturally, the police and fire lights, the emergency lights that are non-working, I've gotten with both chiefs, and they've looked at them, and they're non-workable. We cannot just sell those online because you don't want the wrong person getting hold of them. So what we would have to do is we would actually have to crush them with a backhoe, put them in the dumpster, make them so nobody can actually get pieces of parts out of them. We've got a bunch of miscellaneous outdated radio equipment out there that neither one of the chiefs say is, you know, adequate enough for what we're using today. Some miscellaneous computer components. Got an old office printer and an old Brother typewriter that doesn't work too. So I just wanted to give you guys a detailed list of what we have out there that we need to get disposed of. Questions?
Okay, so you need a resolution to dispose of it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What is your next one there?
17-284.
284. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion, resolution 17-284 for the road department, Jim Stevens, to dispose of the junk excess equipment and so forth that was on hand with a detailed list attached. So, got to have a second on that.
I'll second it.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you got
I have one.
Okay. Just when you make your mind, it's just attached.
Mm-hmm.
This, I just want to get this into your hands. This is something I was asked to put together.
Okay.
No need to do any kind of discussion on it tonight. I just wanted you guys to be aware. We kind of talked about it. We're just moving forward with whatever we decide to do.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm done.
Okay. All righty. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Stevens?
Yes, ma'am. I was gone 2 meetings ago, and I couldn't get back for it. And I mean, you had worked on the field, came to my house, very nice, and John and everything gave me a piece of paper. I gave it to my neighbor, told him it would be taken care of. I was in California, and I came back, and I had four neighbors came down to tell me that I got back in the middle of the night, told me it was all taken care of and everything. And so if I can come here and complain about it in public, I'm going to thank you.
Well, I appreciate that.
You guys are above and beyond.
Yeah, we had quite a few phone conversations through the whole chain through them to get to the right people, and then all of a sudden they start flooding me with a phone call saying we're sorry.
And then the only other thing with you is last week I wanted to bring this up, but with that meeting last week, this I just wanted to
yeah.
Right.
Yes.
I saw you on the news on the cemetery down on Frank Road.
Yes.
And so I drove down there the other day. I know you said you're working on grants and stuff. Do you have any idea what the footage is that you would need for new chain link?
I have that upstairs. I don't have it wrong on top of my head. Exactly.
I don't know how much is on a roll because I'm not a fence man by any stretch of the imagination, but I have 8 rolls of chain link fence that's encased in the rubber, black rubber plastic, and I'd be willing to donate them to the township. I don't know that it's enough to do the whole entire job, but and it is a little bit more expensive, but you would never have to replace it again, you understand?
You usually couldn't put rolls in. It's a regular roll.
I thought 25 when I enrolled one, but like I said, I didn't, I don't know. You can get the information, or you want to come by and take
a look. I'll be more than happy to take a look.
I'll donate them to the township for that project. Yeah, that looks terrible there. I cleaned that up as a Boy Scout. I went in there as a Boy Scout, and we cleaned that up when I was a kid. And I saw you on the news about it and everything, and I thought, and I know you said you was working on a grant, and that's why I thought, well.
I'll work on a grant for just redoing the fencing all the way around here. Actually, the fence that we would be doing would be on the roadside and then up both edges. The back is the majority of that for the privacy fence from all the residents back in there. So.
Well, what I was going to do at my house was I was just going to take like the black spray paint, Rust-Oleum spray paint, paint the pipes and the poles. That would make them black and then just put the fence up, you know. So, you know, you do whatever you want, but if you guys want them and they'll work, you let me know and there you'll work.
Well, thank you.
Kind of difficult on putting new posts in the ground, per se, because we're not exactly sure where anything is at. So that's about the only thing we'd be able to really do is put more new fabric up on it and straighten up the poles and new concrete. I appreciate
appreciate it. I'll be more than happy. Well, keep me in mind, okay? Just give me a call.
I appreciate that.
I'll get them dug out to where you can see them.
Did you, Mike, did you, when you were a young fellow that, you know, was helping clean that up, was all the headstones and everything in place and all that? You know, there's a lot of them.
To be honest with you, it seemed like they were all there, but they, even, I mean, I'm 60, so even at then, they were, they seemed really old then,
right.
You know, to me as a kid. And for right. it to be like what I don't know how many times I go by there. My grandson goes to that school.
Uh-huh.
And after I saw him on the news, I started paying more attention. And,
right.
And for those to be that old of tomb markers and things like that, and to be, you know, how you guys went in there and
there's a there's up things thing. In there that actually date back to 1812.
Yeah.
That's what I remember from, so
right.
over 50 years ago, that's what I remember. And it,
right.
and it struck me then that those seemed to be old to me at 10 years old. Right. So,
I know that we've, like you were saying, the Boy Scouts were in there taking, they used to, the Boy Scouts took care of that before it was turned over to us to start mowing, which was before my time. And even then, I mean, you go in and you try to do the best you can, you feel bad, you have to pick stuff and move it because you don't have it in the same place, which is how that memorial got put into place. Veterans Affairs sent us 12 headstones and wanted us to find and put those in place where those people were buried. But with that, they sent me a map that showed rows and aisles. There's absolutely no way you can find out a row and an aisle in there at all. So I reached back out to them and asked if they would mind if we just built a memorial where we know the old schoolhouse or church used to sit, where we knew there wasn't anybody actually buried in that area. And we had to draw it up and design it and submit it to them, and they approved it, and that's what we ended up building down there with those 12 headstones. So it was better to do it that way and then to just scatter, not knowing if we put them in the right place.
I'd like to, and Jim and I have talked briefly about, you know, I'd like to find out more about that place.
I've got
a little history.
I've
and
got a lot of history on it.
Uh-huh.
And the paperwork. I knew
this wrong. Is way older.
Right down yeah. right here on Frank Road.
It's right on Frank, across from the new school
left-hand
there.
Left-hand side as you go down.
Uh-huh. Left-hand,
the curve.
Left.
Yeah, on the left as you know, go past the brand new school there, Joyce.
Okay.
Ron Bailey, who works
right around, yeah.
for us in our department. But I've seen something on TV one time of a gentleman that was cleaning up a bunch of old headstones. Reached out, contacted this gentleman, found out exactly what it was that he was using to restore them. And he's already started down there. I think he's done four or five of his big headstones, scrubbed them all down on his own time.
Right.
He's a veteran, and he's like that. He just spent a lot of his own time doing it, and it's making a lot of them look really
yeah.
nice.
I remember that man. You know, that might be something if we got. Do you still have association at all with the Boy Scouts or anything like that? That might be a
my
project.
My scout leader lives on Randsburg still. I've just seen him this past week. I stopped down there and talked to him. And I don't believe he's got any. Most guys seem to get into it when they have children.
Right,
it. And
right.
Then they'll stick around for a few years
right.
after their children go. But, I mean, we're talking a lot of years.
Yep.
I sometimes wonder, I mean, I see ones that say join scouts, but it mostly seems to me it's scouts that you do in school.
Right.
Not, we did scouts after school. We went to a church in the evening
right.
and did scouts after school. We went on campouts. We went on, you know.
Right.
It's a big thing in our family. I mean, my grandson is a, and I can't even, it won't even, the name of it won't even come to me, but it's one of the biggest things you can get, earn as a,
Eagle Scout?
He's an Eagle Scout. There you go. And I didn't, even me being in the Boy Scouts, had no idea what truly went into that till he did it.
Oh, yeah.
And we went through all the ceremonies with him and everything, and it's really huge.
They don't just
I
hand
may
them out.
Be able to try to go through them and see if there would be a contact person here
yeah.
in Columbus.
Right.
If you'd like.
You know, I just, my thoughts on it would be, you know, I'd like to really garner some interest in maybe somebody doing some historical work on that. Now, if Jim can share something, why maybe, you know, I mean, there's got to be relatives and things somewhere around.
I have a list of who all is buried there.
Did you?
Yeah.
You did have a list.
Back to their birth dates and their death dates.
Okay, well, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
You
said, well, maybe a little easier to research than we think it is, really.
The old correct me if I'm wrong, didn't the old Frank Road used to bend around that at one time?
Yeah. I know, I dug a grave down there one time, buried something.
That, a lot of people drive by that don't realize it's there.
I was just getting ready to say the exact same
thing. It's bigger. First time I went out with Jim and the crew cutting that was the first place I cut. And we cut that and take care of that. And I've never cut in a graveyard before, but, you know, trying to make sure you don't hit any of the headstones. I mean, there's a lot of work
in
weeding.
It's not easy.
No, it's not. But it's bigger once you're in there and you're going. You can have two mowers in there going, zero turns, and it takes you 40 minutes by the time you do that. It's someone else weed eating. So it's bigger. And the way it goes over that hill, it's bigger than it looks from the road.
It's just that you know it can be taken care of.
Sure.
Or it could be. I was not embarrassed. I was embarrassed for myself, I guess, because I've really never even noticed, and that's why I drove down there the night after I saw you on the news.
We try to take a lot of pride in maintaining.
Yeah.
Where we try to keep them moved down.
Look at the one on is it Sullivan Avenue?
Yeah.
Look how well kept that is.
Yeah, kept.
My grandmother happened to have an apartment directly across the street on the top floor. So as when I was a youngster there, I used to stay with her for a while and then look over there across Sullivan Avenue into that, and that's.
Well,
you talk about something well kept.
Well, I may try to reach out to some veterans groups there. I think I'd like to do some, you know.
Even if we could put a sign up in history or
get some kind of official memorial and things like that.
Yeah,
you know.
What you've seen when you're in there.
Right.
It would be nice someday because it's an old metal sign. It's rusting on the back.
Yep, yep.
It may be nice someday to just get a newer sign made up stating what's on there.
Yeah.
It was kind of turned over to Franklin Township at a certain
exactly.
time. Be nice. Maybe looking to get a new one made. Paul Peterson could probably make us a really
yep.
nice one.
Want to get caught up on everything.
Yeah.
No. Seriously, that's one of the things I'd really like, you know, just for me, I guess, priority to kind of look into. So I'm going to fish around a little bit.
That's all I've got.
Yep. And if you want to ask your... You know, your Boy Scout folks.
I'll get started on it tomorrow.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you. Anything else for Jim? Thanks, Jim.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's see.
Number 8.
Who we got now?
Number 8,
okay. Well, Chief Welch. Or Chief Adams. Oh, there you go.
I have nothing. I'll defer off the Chief Adams.
Oh, okay.
You got me.
How you doing there tonight, sir?
I'm doing well.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Oh,
what I do? No, that's to help
so
out for later.
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, that's what I called you about today.
Okay.
received another grant for free things. Well, it's kind of free. These are for, it's a PwC grant with a max award of $15,000, and that's what I got. That is for new gear extractors and washing machines for the departments. The current ones we have are over 20 years old, which I just checked into. And every time we get one of those fixed, it costs them $500 to look at.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I put in for this grant, we received it. And what I do need, though, is this is a grant where we have to pay a portion of the cost.
Match.
So what I gave you there is I already have the invoice or the quote. The total quote is for $15,000 for the equipment. We would have to pay $2,500 towards that. So my request tonight is a resolution for $2,500 to go towards the grant to receive these.
And this would still keep you solid in your budget, correct?
This is actually out of the general fund.
General
this is
fund.
A capital improvement.
Capital improvement, yeah.
So I'm glad you clarified that.
Okay. What's our next resolution there?
284.
It's
285. Yep. 285,
uh-huh.
Okay. I'd like to make a resolution for the fire department to purchase the washers and extractors. Our cost would be $2,500, resolution number 285. Could I have a second on that?
I'll second that.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I have one more thing I didn't put on the resolution.
Okay.
I was just notified last week our department has received two more awards. Last meeting, one of our crews received an award for the shooting at Topdown Parkland Drive. Another crew, the crew that's actually on fire right now on Wedgwood Drive, where it should be, They received an award for a fire back in March on Cherry Creek Parkway, where they pulled three people from the house fire. Unfortunately, two of those people perished. They were put up for an award by the Columbus Fire Department for their bravery and what they do. So I'm very proud of that crew. They'll be receiving that award along with that other crew. We have two crews that are receiving awards from the City of Columbus in October. Also, we just received a word from the Attorney General, Mike DeWine. They're going to be giving award to one of our firefighters, Justin Kuhl, who is one of our safer grant firefighters, right. Also the veteran. He is receiving an award because of how many times he's given Narcan. They asked us to pick a gentleman. They know we have the highest rate of Narcan use, and they asked us to look and find one of our gentlemen that should win that award. And I don't want to say it's winning an award, but they appreciate what he's done as a veteran. He does that, and then he comes here, and now he's out there every day. I mean, it's every day. He's actually given Narcan 43 times this year. Like, he's got 43 people back, which is just insane. That's just one of our guys. I hate to say it, I could pick probably a half dozen of them. But he'll be receiving that award on September 17th at Franklin Heights. I think you all have the email about that. From Attorney General Mike Watt.
So, when is that again?
It's Sunday, September 17th at 1 p.m. at Franklin Heights, and that'll be with Attorney General Mike DeWine, and it's a whole opioid thing. That's all we talk about now, right?
Yep.
I think that's all I have.
And you said we've got that in an email? Did that come in today, or I'll double check?
Did you get an email?
Maybe it just came to us first.
Yeah, I don't recall seeing an email.
You'll get
an email. We'll get an email, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Justin Kuhl.
Can you spell that?
K-U-H-E-L.
Okay. Anything else?
No, sir.
Is there anything for the fire department?
Okay. Thank you.
What time is that? Do you know?
1 p.m.
1 p.m. is that?
Tracy says 2
a.m. Will you send an email reminder out on that?
I sure will.
Okay. Thank you.
This was just an email to let us
let you know. Okay. Alrighty, thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, let's see what we got next year. We're moving along pretty good tonight.
Jessica.
Okay. Building department there, Jessica Rice. How are you tonight, Jessica?
I am flipping fantastic.
Well,
how
good.
Are you?
Well, good. Thank you. I am there.
Good. I don't have a whole lot. I sent you guys in papers about home rule. Just wanted to put it in the newsletter. If you have corrections or ideas, thoughts, let me know, and I will make those adjustments and put them in the newsletter. And then speaking of home rule, I would like to order door knockers to go on the doors for when it's election time. And I would like to use the same company that Byron used for the police levy.
Do you have a cost on that?
I do. We can order 2,500 of them for about $350. The next jump is 5,000, and I don't think we need that many.
Okay.
And that would be about $700.
Yeah.
Okay.
But 2,500 is what?
For about $350. And we'll get together closer to time to actually go over what all you want on that.
So you're going to need a resolution tonight to
yes,
get that
please.
Moving. So I'd like to make a resolution that we extend not to exceed $360 for door knockers in regards to literature going out for home rule. And I'd need a second on that.
Yeah, I'll second that.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
I'm going to stay.
Do we have a resolution number?
17-286.
286.
Mm-hmm. And back in April, there was a resolution for 867 Hart Road. And they are... COSIC is ready to actually transfer the title. Just wanted to give you guys an update. I don't know if you need a resolution number that we were accepting the title. But
no.
It's resolution 112. 17-112, okay. And they're ready to transfer the title.
Okay.
And that's all I have.
Can I add something about home rule? I got a letter from the Board of Elections saying that's officially going to be on the ballot.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Can you make a copy of that?
Yeah.
Send it to me whenever you get a chance. Thanks.
I'll give it to you tomorrow when I come home.
Okay. Thanks. Anybody have any questions?
I wanted to ask you a quick question about home rule.
Sure. Yeah. Me or?
Well, just, I'm trying to study up on it, okay?
Okay.
So, I'm trying to figure out, is home rule something that's already all spelled out, or is home rule, once you get a vote, then the commissioners and the community will decide what it is that they want to change? Do you understand what I'm saying
yes.
by that or not?
Yes, yes, I do.
So and that's where I'm having a problem to sell it to people or talk to people about
right.
it. I'm not knowledgeable.
Well, nothing, right. nothing.
Do you want me to answer that?
You go ahead.
Oh.
She's been studying it.
Home rule, there's two different things. There's home rule and there's limited home rule. We're actually putting limited home rule on the ballot, and it does not give the township trustees any more authority to do much of anything other than enforce what Franklin County already has on the books. So with limited home rule, we can actually go out and do things faster, like make clean up neighborhoods and different things like that, especially with properties, and take care of a lot of those township issues and concerns faster than going through the county. They're already so bombarded with other townships and other areas that limited home rule will actually give us the authority to go in and do what Franklin County already does, just on a faster pace.
Okay, and then we're telling people that it's not going to cost anything.
No.
But truly, it is going to cost something.
Well, you've got a good point, Mike. I didn't even think of it that way. What it would basically cost the township, I mean, there's no cost like saying, I see exactly what you're saying, but yes, you're right. If we hire a recess officer or someone to go out, or if we already have Jessica going out, then there's very little cost involved, but there could be some cost, especially if we hire a recess officer. But to be home rule doesn't cost anything.
Okay.
If we start enacting, or if we wish to, let's say for instance someone's had a motor home parked in their backyard for 10 years and it's rusted out and etc., going to the county, you know, it, give you a perfect example, going on Demers, the gentleman that has the old ambulance from Heath or somewhere out there, I think it was Heath or Pataskala, and they stripped the stuff off, it's sitting there. That's been there for over 3 months that I know of. We've actually got with the county. The county went out there. The guy kind of chased him off. He is now trying to work it through the system and et cetera. If we were home rule, if Byron went out there and said, hey, you can't have this sitting here, and if he says, you know, what he says, F you or whatever, get off my property, blah, blah, okay, we tag it. Put the sticker on there. Then we wait. That gets towed. He redeems that, and he's going to have to pay the tow bill. So that there is also a fee for that. So where do we say how much is actual cost and how much is it making us money? Because when we impound, the impound fees that we have been collecting since we started doing this over a year ago has paid for the, if I'm not correct, have they not paid for the different things for the police, like the cruisers and tasers? And
they paid a portion of it, yes.
Okay. So I don't want to say it wrong that they paid for them. So in a way, in some ways, does it pay for itself? It's uncharted area because we haven't used it yet. So to say 100% yes, it costs nothing, I would be lying if I said that. If there is minimal cost, yes, there could be. But
I guess out of that whole conversation, I'm a little bit taken. So Jessica is going to be the one that goes out?
Well, Jessica would be one that probably would handle, she wouldn't necessarily be the person to go out. We don't even, at this point, once we do, if we get home rule in, then the board is going to decide, you know, it's kind of hard to say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and then it not pass. If it passes, we can just continue to go the way we are. We don't even have to do anything. At that point, if it passes, then we will sit down and say, how do we want to handle this? We will get with each department head. We got the road department. The road department sees something, and et cetera, et cetera. That helps them that they would be, right now, they send out a letter that says you've got 7 days. So if we have a person that goes out to say, I'm looking for code enforcement things, then we would have a cost to someone that would be, in my opinion, would be part-time. A part-time person, a lot of places do that. If we just rely on our department heads and the people we have now, what more costs do we have in it? But you would have to say, for the things that we do, how much other monies is that going to bring into the township versus how much is going to go out? So it's really a balance. I mean, but is it going to cost the township $100,000? Absolutely no.
Well, in reality, Mike, as we currently are staffed, you know, when I see a place, when I'm out, I see a place, you know, that looks really bad, I write it up. We all do. Road department's out daily. And, you know, and so we get reports back from anyone in the field, you know, even the police department, if they see a really bad place. Thank God now that we have a few cops, they can start identifying a few more places as well. But to say that it's really going to cost any more out of taxpayers' money, I can't foresee.
Way is it going to get big enough to where we're going to have to put on somebody?
Well,
and then that somebody's going to need a vehicle.
My opinion, probably not.
That's the reason I'm asking the questions, and that's why I was
exactly
kind of like trying to do the.
Now that's my opinion, probably not, because it costs quite a bit to actually staff a zoning board. And I can't foresee us pulling away from Franklin County.
I don't see.
They've got their resources tied up in the zoning board.
I don't see us using this. I apologize. Okay. I don't see us using this immediately as it goes into practice. Then we have someone patrolling looking for issues.
Right.
I see this personally as, like, for instance, I say about the ambulance sitting on Demarest. That could be taken care of at no cost and et cetera as far as us using what we have inside. Mm-hmm. I only see in this as being an extra tool when we need it.
It for a lot of people, and we've never, what you'd say, really had the authority to really go and say, hey, we want to get rid of this junk. This will get, maybe if we pass a little ordinance or something here, maybe it would give the police department a little more authority to tag jockers and things like that. Also, there is a economic aspect that potentially could be from this. I know that the areas that have this limited home rule thing, you're more apt to attract businesses for the simple fact a business will look at an area, okay, they've got this home rule deal in effect, I'd be more apt to come to that location or that jurisdiction than I would. They know they're going to get, you know, a fairly clean place, that type of thing, and a place that a business would, that would appeal to a business. So there's potential economic aspect from it too. And, you know, the bottom line is on a new business, anything like that, that we can attract to the township is going to do nothing but help us all, really. Ultimately, it'll lower tag, and we won't be out here hounding for money every 4 or 5 years, you know? So we need to do some progressive things. You know, I hope that kind of helps you a little bit. But to say it's going to cost any more, you know, Jessica or somebody is going to be working here anyway because the workload is too heavy to not have her, you know what I mean? So she's doing multiple things, a lot of things. And to say that she's going to exclusively go out and do this, no.
Well, I didn't say that.
No. Oh, no, but I just want you to understand, you know. So, okay. Is there anything further?
Since I live in a mixed neighborhood.
Right.
Let me clarify.
Right.
Half of the town, half of the street is in the township.
Right.
The other half is in the city. Will the home rule apply
only the township?
Only the township.
Only,
in other words, neighbor across the street is in the city.
Right.
And they have something that home rule could apply
right
to. We can't do that.
No.
So we're still
Right. Well, the way it's set up, you really can't. It's a matter of, you know, the state. It is a state law there, really, is what it is. So
we could enforce it if it's a state
law.
No.
So you would have to get with code enforcement that the 411, from a home line, if you dial *411, they have a system set up, and you could tell them, hey, anonymous, this person has this, and this. And then Michael Huggins is the code enforcement for our area, and he would come out and take a look at this and, proceed with that. So what we would end up, if we got a call on something like that, or which we get calls for different things, then that's when we would have the power to be able to enact what the county says that we could do. We can't just say, oh, well, you got to paint your gutters red or black or something.
No, you have to, he would have to go through the
city,
Barry. Now, what I'll do, the city does have a neighborhood liaison now that actually lives right over here off Briggs Road somewhere. What I could do, if he ever has an issue, I can give you a call, give you that lady's phone number, and she'll call him and get the information and take it direct back to City Hall then. So they do have the their own person running the area right now. But as far as us having any jurisdiction in the city, no. It'd be township only. Okay. Anything else there, Jessica? Okay. Is there anything? I noticed you got a copy of that. If Mike wants to, or somebody wants to.
I need to make corrections to it.
So. Oh, okay. Well, you might. Now, make sure you tell them you're having the day information dates on that.
It's October the 16th and October the 27th. We're going to have an open discussion forum at Central Baptist Church down the street at 1955 Frank Road.
The neighbors can come and ask questions.
6:30.
Yes.
What was the dates again?
October the 16th and October the 27th. It's on a Thursday evening. I'm sorry, October the 12th and October the 26th. I said wrong.
Okay. What time is it?
6:30 for both of them.
The 12th and the 26th?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Is it all you had?
That's it.
Anything else for
Robin has
Jessica? Oh, Robin, you have a...
I was looking on the Ohio Revised Code under Home Rule, and it says if it is passed, that the township is required to appoint an administrator and pay them accordingly. So to do those administrator tasks. So that means that you're going to have to pay someone to do home rule tasks. It clearly says that in the Ohio Revised Code.
Yeah.
So even if that means a person that's already here, if they're going to take on those tasks, will need to be paid to do those tasks.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that the people in the community know that.
Yeah, well, essentially what you can...
It's a requirement that you appoint someone.
Right. What you can do, you can appoint someone... And if you want to pay them $1 a year, fine.
It just still has to be handled appropriately.
Exactly.
And it'd be presented in that
right,
way. You can't just say, well, I'm going to give Jessica all the sections.
Let's just say I wanted to, volunteer to be the administrator. You'd have to have some sort of minimal fee there for sure.
Right, and it just says that's at the pleasure of the board.
Exactly.
That it should be presented to the public in such a way
that's right.
They know that someone in here or outside would be appointed to that.
Well, the bottom line is we're not going out looking for someone we have to hire an administrator for. I can assure you that. There's just not, we don't have that kind of revenue. So, okay. Anything else? Okay. All righty. Okay, let's move on here. Okay, Ralph Horn. I guess really I don't have much new to add right at the moment. I'll let everybody off easy there. John, do you have anything?
Guess what I'm going to talk about.
Trash. Okay.
No.
No.
Sewers. As the last meeting before.
Sewers.
Still waiting on a date to be able to. I know.
Oh, my
as you heard here, they would set up a date.
Excuse me just a minute. Uh-huh. I'm taking 2 weeks away from trash. I'll talk about it the next time. Just give me a break.
As at the last meeting, we had a lot of people from the county here, and they asked if we could sit down and have a meeting. The attorneys said they wanted to facilitate that and spearhead that. They did send out emails to them. Again, nothing. So I have nothing to report on that other than that particular part.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it. That's all okay. I got.
Mr. Cook, you have any?
Havenwood called me. Well, not Havenwood. Romney Group called me from Salt Lake City yesterday. Wanted to know if we're interested in setting up a police substation out there in the apartments, or if there's any officers that would like to rent out there. They would give them a discount if they want to live out there. They would like to see, maybe we could set something up out there and a police car could be out there or would help with their problems that they have.
Well, that's probably something we need to
sit down and talk with the chief about.
Yeah.
They were supposed to start a block watch out there, weren't they?
Pardon me?
Weren't they supposed to start a block watch out there?
I think they do have a block watch. They could start. This came from Salt Lake City called. And
sure.
Because they've got a lot of problems out there.
Yeah, I just wondered with having the block watch to help some.
They have a lot of their places that they do this. They have substations set up where they offer lower rent to police officers to rent there.
Fair enough.
And it helps a lot.
Absolutely.
We need to, if Chief wants to come out, maybe we can find out what his thoughts are.
Chief?
Yeah.
Byron.
They want you. When you get a second, you still got to hear something nasty when you do that.
The Romney Group called me yesterday to know if we would be interested in setting up a substation out there, or if any officers want to live out there, they would give them a reduced rate.
Control your facials.
I think if we get anything like reduced living there at a reduced rate, that would have to go to our attorney, because to me that's, they'd be receiving something, and I'm not sure that would be legal, but we could check if anybody's interested in it.
We would have to do that. It is legal. There's a lot of, especially apartment complexes that will give.
Right, that's what they say. A lot of their complexes they do this at.
I don't think there's anybody going to take us up on it.
I kind of doubt it also, but if it's available. Are we interested in setting up a substation?
Do they have a facility available?
They will set one up for you.
We could meet one.
Okay. You'd like to know tomorrow, from the meeting tonight. I told him we'd have a meeting tonight, and I'd let him know. I'll just tell him tomorrow that we'll
set something up next week.
Have a meeting.
Understanding some of the runs and stuff that I've been on with you guys out there, mm-hmm. One of my concerns would be is the amount of time it would be tied up, because you become the judge out there, basically, from what I'm seeing with all the different squabbles, because it's people of other cultures that's come here and they have their issues.
Yeah.
Having a substation, you're not going to be able to go nowhere because they're going to become knocking on the door,
well,
coming in
instead of calling.
Right. I mean, something we would have to look at, because I think it's going to tie up a whole lot of resources, and we're not up to full time yet.
No, it wouldn't be a substation that would be open to the public, per se.
And I think they're looking at more, thinking of a substation like you see city, someone's there, a sergeant, or et cetera.
Even the ones in the city aren't actually manned either. I already have a meeting with them on the 14th on at 1 to talk about their block watch. I don't know if they want to tie that in.
On the 14th?
Mm-hmm. Thursday.
That's next Thursday, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. 1 o'clock.
Are you here tomorrow?
Yes.
I have some more insight on that. I'd like to touch base with you about it before you go. Because
Okay. Tomorrow, preferably.
Okay. Well, you're supposed to be there, too.
If Irma takes a path and I'm able to go to the beach, I'm going to be on the beach next week. But it doesn't look like I'm going to go to the beach next week. So.
Oh, I'll be right there.
Okay, I'll call him tomorrow in time, and we'll discuss it with Rachel and that other guy.
Brad.
Brad.
Pardon me?
Brad.
Yeah. Okay.
Brad.
Okay.
We got a question.
Would the substation be, like, free, or would it be, like, a discount? Yeah.
We wouldn't do it if it wasn't free. There would be no benefit to us.
Space.
Right. We do need more space, but we
wouldn't.
Yeah,
no. Got a copy here from the Board of Health today for where they did some mosquito spraying. The township, they did off of Money Back, a couple streets up off of Hague Avenue. What was that one way up there? There's two streets on Hague Avenue they did. They did El Paso and Lowell off of North Hague Avenue. They did Ponderosa, all of Valley View, and Broadlawn that they sprayed for mosquitoes on August the 31st. I think you got a copy of it.
Yeah,
Everybody got a copy of it.
Yeah, when I get that email, because they send it to me and copy the board. And everybody. Right. When I get that email, then I usually send all the information to Jess, and she updates it on our social media pages.
Right.
The way we can
actually, I think they were due like about now to do it again.
They were doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to say maybe tonight.
Could be.
Mm-hmm. Change still here?
I did see some sort of email on it there.
They just did it on the 29th. Okay. We got an updated email just stating that it was done and everything was fine.
And we're set with the block watches that can get a hold of Jessica to post everything so that we know. Okay.
Everybody got a copy of this Franklin Township real estate procedures I sent out last week.
Yeah.
I also sent a copy to the attorney. They said they had not looked at it, but they need a board's okay to go ahead and look it over. Okay. This has already been approved in our meetings.
Back last spring.
It's in the minutes. I just ask them, Teresa, and it's been approved. But
it has been.
I think we need to give it we definitely need to give the attorney an okay to
do it again.
To go through and look at it.
Yeah.
She says that she hasn't looked at it. So.
Well, I've looked at it, and there are things in there that I don't like. If we're going to go forward with those. So if they're going to look at it, it's going to be looked at with corrections that we would do. One of the things that with some of the homes, you know, we're selling the properties and different things of that nature. One of the things I'm making a call to check with, what's the name of that company? Habitat for Humanity. And I've talked with our attorney about this. One of the things that I would like to do is some of the properties that are turned over to us that need an extremely amount of work to be able to fix. Rather than us just auction them off and whatever happens, I would like to be able to see where someone comes in and they make the house like new. So Habitat for Humanities, I'm looking into if we're able to turn property over to them as a gift, and then we're looking at properties that would be completely redone, brand new, and then it would go to a person. You're shaking your head, Robin. No, and then this way we would have a property that would be redone, and then a family would be able to get that versus us just turn around selling it as is and then hope that they get it up to code. So basically, it would be guaranteed that they're going to redo this home. If anyone's had any dealings with Habitat for Humanity. I used to do work with them when they would finish and or going through the process, do the pictures of before and the finish. And when it's finished, it's like brand new.
There is a procedure that was connected with this for the donation of property.
Right. But some of the procedures in there, Don, that I know that you've been pushing and Melissa was pushing, and I disagree with, is giving a timeline at 30 days from the time it was turned over to us. You're tying the hands of anyone that sits up here of turning around and trying to get rid of a piece of property within 30 days. That's There's no reason that we need to be in such a rush to be able to get rid of a piece of property.
No.
So with that, I'm not okay with it.
Well, I'm not.
I personally don't think we should be giving our property away. Habitat Humanity is giving property away. That's for the township.
Why can't
we sell it with stipulations?
It's costing us to get these pieces of property, so we should be able to sell it and get the money back that we've spent to acquire the piece of property.
There's two ways to look at this. You can either look at it short term. There's an old saying, a fast dime is not as good as a slow nickel. Meaning, if we take a piece of property and we just sell it real quick and we get it, and what it costs us to acquire it is not that much. So when we acquire these pieces of property, if there's a house across the street from you, and let's say that we donate that to Habitat Humanity, and they come in and put $60,000, $70,000 worth of work into it, make it a brand new piece of property, we're going to get property tax for that for how many years? Versus if we just sell it for whatever we get, $20,000, $30,000, that's just a short, quick money in your pocket type thing. If it just sits,
why can't you have stipulations?
Yeah. Well, I'm getting to that. I'm getting to. Give me a minute to get to that. So if we don't do that and we sell it to someone and there are stipulations that they have to do this, this, and this, the amount of money, and this is from the attorney's office, the amount of money that it would cost us to be able to try to enforce those stipulations that we put on it, because the property is already going to be in their name. I did ask about this very question in different ways around this. What if we did not give them the deed to the property until they complete it? Then once they complete it and it is up to code and everything is right, then we give it. Well, then we can't legally do that because, you know, they're putting the money in. What happens if they get halfway done and they can't afford it anymore and they leave it like it is? Then it's on the township. Now what's the township going to do? Finish it or tear it down? So there was, the attorneys were saying that's a bad scenario to go that route. So the best scenario is if you're going to sell it, you're going to sell it as is. If you're going to donate it, and you donate it to a place such as Habitat for Humanity, and they are going to completely restore that property, and a new family comes in, now you've got a new house that's completed before anyone moves in, versus someone taking a piece of property, trying to work on it and live there and bring it up to code. So it's how you look at it. Long-term effect, if you have a new home in that area, the property value on that property is going to be higher than what it is on what it was when it was sold.
Well, here's the deal. I'm with Barry on this. If you get a one-time sale on that one chunk of money, whatever it is, and there's a time limit, in reality, my thoughts would be something like 18 months. A year and a half to complete your work. And once the property is brought up to code and everything, what, you know, you'd have to build things into your cost, your factor, maybe appraisals and things like that. Now she had gone through and gotten an appraisal cost of approximately $350 from the one company.
$350 was on the low end. $400 to $500 is
right. So it's going to be for a good appraisal, like $500 or less, which the township temporarily would have to eat. That's for sure.
That's if we go with selling the property.
If you go with selling it now, if you sit down and figured out a situation where you could build some of these costs back into the selling price of the property, you know, you can work some of those things out. But regardless of if you get a chunk of money, once that is done and turned over to a new owner, then you're going to get forever taxes on it anyway.
Correct.
So, you know, it's kind of a win-win. Well, as far as I'm concerned, you get some money up front.
Well, you do.
And then you freaking get forever taxes on
it. But if you look at it from this way, who is the person that is buying that rundown house, and what are they going to do with it? It's obvious. They're going to purchase the house, skim it as much as possible, and get renters in there. If you go the route that I am potentially saying, Habitat for Humanity has a type of, they bring the house completely up to brand new. Then there's a family that goes in there and it's given to them, so it's not a rental.
No, one thing, not to interrupt you, but one thing I think you'll find about Habitat for Humanity, they don't do rehabs, they do new builds. They get... Go ahead.
There's also another company that's called Homes on the Hill that does rehabs.
Right, they do.
And these are two places that we're gaining information on.
So I don't think you're going to get a deal worked out with Habitat for Humanity. Now, they may take the property.
The Habitat for Humanity property, will go in and actually put a house on that property, so the property will be worth more in value.
Right. A brand new house.
A brand new house.
And the reason I say both, and I apologize if I'm making it clear as mud, on the new property, we have two things in the township. We have where we tore down houses, and we have some that, there's a picture in here that there's one that we're going to acquire. And since I was talking about the one that we're going to acquire, that one is not tore down. So on some of the properties that are already tore down, and if we have a piece of land, and we have someone like Habitat Humanity that would come in and build a brand new home from the ground up in a neighborhood, that adds a lot of value. That brings up taxes forever on a new piece of property, on a new piece of, well, old piece of property, but a new house on there. And it does a lot of value for the neighborhood.
I know it wouldn't make any money or anything, but on some of these properties that are vacant, have you ever considered a community garden type thing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I know in our area there is a couple pieces that people have been talking about. You know,
right. And I know in Robin's area there's some of those things too, and I've been asked if, you know, if that's possible, and anything's possible with that. Robin?
You commented on me shaking my head, so I'll explain why.
Okay.
Working for a nonprofit and Habitat for Humanity, I tell you, they make these beautiful homes, and I'm not questioning that one bit. Is it going to increase property value? Absolutely. You're going to put a family in there, and down the road, they're not going to be able to maintain that house. They're not going to be able to maintain the property taxes. You're going to be right back to where you started, because the house is going to be given to them. They're working a minimum wage job. They got six kids. They got this beautiful home. At some point, they will be required to maintain that home.
But so what percentage of that would you say does that? I mean,
it's a big percentage.
It's pretty high.
It's a big percentage. You don't see Habitat going into Upper Arlington and Grandview building homes. Right. They're going into the low-income areas like Moneybagg.
Exactly.
They're going to put a family in there that needs to be in a neighborhood like mine because they're poor.
Right.
Okay? They're not going to want to put a high upscale family in there.
Exactly.
That family's going to work minimum wage jobs or no jobs at all. They got a lot of men. They got a lot of kids. It's a lot of their problem. They can't get into apartments. They've got four or five kids. They're going to be in there for a year, 2 years, and then the property taxes are going to start stacking up, and then all of a sudden you guys are going to have another piece of property on your hands.
Exactly.
So let me ask you this. If it's the same type of people that you say that live with you, what's the difference between if someone comes in there that works minimum wage job and buy a house in there?
I mean, it's not no different, but why would we give it away to Habitat for Humanity when it's going to turn around and be handed right back?
Well, one
we
thing,
don't know
you,
that
you never give a dog away.
No, right.
I'm just saying, you're just...
If you do, they don't take care of it.
No, right.
You know, the way Habitat for Humanity is, there's no follow-through. Once they hand those keys off, they don't look back. They go to the next family.
They go to the next thing, next.
And so I'm just saying that in my neighborhood in particular, we know what groups are being attracted into my neighborhood.
Well, what I would say then is this, is there obviously the reason I asked you what percentage and stuff, and I know you say you work in it. I know I've worked during the back end from the start to finish, and I'm there taking pictures when they hand the keys over. You know, rather than say you're right, I'm wrong, he's right, he's wrong.
No.
One of the things I would say is, why throw the ideal out?
Oh,
We can always take, but what I'm saying is, we can take it and try it in this area, try it in that area. Because this isn't something that's just going to happen this year. Throughout years, we're going to be getting new properties. So if we do a trial here and here, see how it does, before we would say, let's do that with more, right. We would want to see where a success record would be. In Moneyback, we have, what, 4 lots, Jim, is that correct?
Where we tore houses down?
Yeah.
3.
So even if we kept those for 3 years, but yet we let one go in there and then try to see how did that model work out versus trying to put 3 houses with Habitat Humanity in there, I think it would behoove of us not to allow the township to try this and see what happens. Yes, there's bad people all over. You can have the Brady Bunch move in next door. I'm saying that because we're Jessica. There you go. We nicknamed someone the Brady Bunch because even in her area, they had a bunch of kids and they didn't care. They let things go and things of that nature. I think that we can get that everywhere, but to stereotype every family that would benefit from this, because the township would benefit as well as the family benefiting. Yes, I agree. There are people that take advantage of it. Yes, if you give a dog away free, I agree 100%. But rather than just, I still say we should at least attempt to see how it works as a model to the township and watch it and see if that's an area we don't want to go or we would go. We wouldn't throw all of our eggs in one basket.
Well, the point is on Habitat for Humanity, what they do, I'm not exactly sure of what they do, but I know they work in batches. The developments that I have seen, it's not just the onesie twosies. In other words, they're not just going to grab your piece of property and say, hey, we got a piece of property here. We're going to do this and give it to somebody.
No, that's how they work.
I'm more concerned about the quality of life in the neighborhood.
Well, me
if
too.
If they make a lot up there, and yep. a neighbor wants to buy that lot and put it into grass
exactly.
and have it as his yard.
Yeah, it's his property.
Maybe he wants to play ball over there, yep. badminton
yep.
set.
Yep.
But then he can take care of that lot for the rest of the yep. life that he has that property.
He's got the
and
best
if he sells
interest,
it, he yeah. will sell that along with his house, and everybody will continue to take care of it, and that takes care of the quality of life in the neighborhood.
Now, yes.
And that's what we need to be yep. our bottom
but
line,
how does that
the quality of life in the neighborhood.
How does someone owning a bigger lot take care of a quality of life? Because we're talking about where there was a house there, and what we have to look at, quality of life, every time we tear a house down and all it is dirt, the cost that the township takes on without having taxable base is significantly different. What you're going to pay for a lot with just grass on it is pennies on the dollar compared if there's a property on it. So when you say quality of life, what do you mean by quality of life?
I mean quality of life that if somebody builds next to Barry and he doesn't like what's on that lot, he had the option to buy that and turn it into a nice grass yard. Otherwise, it could go into another house and somebody there again. They don't pay the taxes. 2 or 3 years, 4 years, we got it right back again to another house. Same thing up in Robin's neighborhood. If she gets people up there and they start building houses up there, she even mentioned it. Mm-hmm. People are building up there, they don't take care of their houses, and you're right back where you started
from.
I would rather see grass neighborhoods next door to lots up there. If I'm not mistaken, you got the people out here. What's your opinion?
We've got a lot. Even for instance, the first drug house we tore down in Moneyback, we'll use Robin's area.
Right.
We've got a company that bought that. Now they've got semis parked on there, a trailer parked on there, and they're dumping stuff on there. They're dumping supplies and things from other jobs. We have another house that they purchased that has one house. They turned it into a chicken coop.
Yep.
And the other house beside it, they own it, and they use it for nothing. And then behind back, they store all of their equipment for working landscaping, et cetera.
But who wants to buy a house in a neighborhood like that?
If I can. So when you, Mr. Cook, when you talk about quality of life, that has no merit. Because who wants to ask the person that lives next door to where the lot sold and now there's a big trailer there and they're storing stuff and we have Paul Eberts now working on it. Quality of life, it used to be grass and now it's some company storing their equipment on there. if you go by exactly what is going on in the township now, quality of life is, you're right, the quality of life is down when we sell just a piece of property to someone and they have no intentions of putting a house on it.
So I guess it kind of brings up the...
I mean, I've just named three different properties in your area.
Should we tore the houses down?
Well, there's so much more regulation that needs done in the neighborhood.
Absolutely.
People coming in with all their construction companies, and no matter what house you build in there, if it is not maintained and policed, I mean, I can go down the front part of Brookside, and there's houses where they meet, their construction teams meet every morning. Yeah. They dump gravel, they burn all the pallets from their day's work in the backyard. This is going on for weeks and
this,
months.
And this is...
Who's going to want to build a house?
Exactly. That is my point. Exactly. This is why we don't just sell this property to the highest bidder that does exactly what you're doing. And I have seen this in Money Back. And this is why I'm saying there's got to be a better way to control what goes into a neighborhood. With what Robin's saying. They pull up, they're using the properties, is either a party house,
right,
where every weekend there's 40, 50 cars. So,
nobody
when you
there.
Say quality of life, Mr. Cook, you know the quality of life up there. And to use the word quality of life, what I'm trying to do is build quality of life where we're not going to have someone that's buying it for a business, parking equipment on there, having a party house, buy the house next to it, extend the party house. The amount of calls that we get in that area because this house is being used, they poured concrete in the whole backyard to put volleyball in.
Well,
now, in America, I thought we played volleyball on sand, but they play it on concrete. So then they purchased the house next property to it to extend this party lot. By doing a model of what I said, makes a heck of a lot more sense than just saying quality of life and we're going to let someone purchase this, because we've already seen it. We have no control. The highest bidder buys it, and what we're seeing, I already know of five different businesses that bought properties in there, and it's basically slowly turning into a dumping ground in your area.
Right, it's very frustrating.
Well,
that's
needs,
the part that I worry about.
Without a question, it needs some serious work done there.
So the quality of life in the last 5 years in your area, Robin, has went, you're correct, it's going down, not up. And all I'm trying to do is bring it up.
Yeah. Does Habitat for Humanity realize that there's...
We're just now starting to talk to them.
But typically, would they know that they would have to invest in the attachment and the sanitary
Absolutely.
Sewer line and all those investments that have
right.
to go into even building?
And if you have someone willing to invest that into your area... versus someone that I'm fighting the fight now with the guy having all the semis and stuff on the property, and now we have the semis on our trucks, and right there we have road collapsing in.
Yep.
So quality of life, Mr. Cook?
That's a zoning problem up there, and it's not being
I thought it was a quality
correctly.
Of life, not zoning.
It's not being followed correctly.
But how is that going to be fixed in the long haul, even if we put new homes in there?
Home rule will help with that tremendously, because we'll be able to act on that faster than sending it through the county.
Yeah, because it's just very frustrating.
But what I'm getting at is with us with these properties, we do not need to just take the fast track and sell them and get rid of them as quick as possible. We have a perfect opportunity to help grow different areas in the township responsibly, putting something in there more than just a green space that someone can purchase, and then us fight them for the next how many years of you can't do that on that, you can't do that on that. If we can put a new structure in there and a family and start to plant seeds of hope in a community and pumping money into that, I don't know how that is hurting the quality of life versus the opposite side of allowing anyone to purchase it and make it a dumping ground is what we're seeing
well,
in your
area.
Well,
I can tell you right now, you know, we're certainly not going to resolve this issue in the difference of opinion here tonight.
No.
It needs to be, you know, studied and the study done. But I can assure you one thing, once the sewers are in place, and I've told you that, and a few other people up there in Money Back, the sewers and, you know, getting everybody on board and things like that is going to do nothing but increase and improve the quality of life for everybody up there.
People will want to test
it. For one thing, they won't have, the severe water problems we have and dirty water and everything. The earth does replenish and repair itself, and as soon as, over time there, it won't be very long, that you won't have all that sewage and everything out there. And Jim knows what I'm talking about. You've seen this. Now, what you do with a plan for the neighborhood is something that needs to be studied, that's for sure. I think once, some of those problems are concerned, and I really hate the fact that we missed out on an opportunity to get running water in the, city water up there, and some way that got slipped by the wayside too. But I guess that's another fight for another day. But
I do have the contract from 1953 that says that, and it supposedly, when the casino went in, it supposedly didn't exist. Well, I got it, and it isn't active. I had another attorney outside of our attorneys look at this on my time, sure, my cost. And this is definitely an active, and it is a contract that states that if you are within an area that has city water, you are allowed to hook up. You will pay a tap fee. But the reason that they did this, in 1953, the city of Columbus was smaller than the county. In order for the county to be able, the city to be able to grow, they needed to go across county lines, put sewer lines in. And the agreement explains this. An agreement says that you will not have to annex to hook to city water and sewer. However, you will pay the tap fee and you will pay to hook on. But to hold that ransom, as we are now seeing, that's how the casino had, they started that. They did groundbreaking in the township. I was at the groundbreaking. Everything started, and they red flagged that and said, if you're going to hook on, even though the casino for 50 years was a GM plant, had running water and sewer there. So for them to come in and do that and not be able to take this contract as literally as what it is, it'll come to more light as we move on.
Let's go back 6 years ago. We had to put a new well in.
Sure.
And
with the schools. The schools were drilled.
My well collapsed. But anyway, right across the street they have city water. It was going to cost $12,000 to hook up with city water,
right,
and the well cost me $6,000.
Right,
so,
right.
So where do you go?
Well, in some cases, some people have, there is a city line right there. And I know like on our street, right along our back fence is city line. Mm-hmm. So some people, if it's there and if it's feasible to you, but you're right, $12,000, because you're going to have to pay to bring it across the road and et cetera, et cetera.
That's right.
Right. And it wouldn't be feasible in your case. But in some residents' case, and I believe that the water line is very close to certain, I'd have to go back and look at the schematics of exactly where.
It's on plank.
Right. But some people would be able to benefit from that. And this would be something that, right now they're saying, no, you have to annex. So they're contradicting themselves compared to what the contract mm-hmm. says versus what is current.
Right, because we have water lines that run straight through the neighborhood over to that big church on El Paso.
Right.
I mean, the water lines are running straight down.
So according to the contract, Bill, if you wanted to hook on city water, you would call a contractor, you'd get your permit, you'd pay the tap fee, pay them to hook on, and you're done.
Well,
and you don't have to annex.
That's from the standpoint of the tap fees and everything. Now, those guys will send out letters for meetings, so you know. And they had the Eureka Park people were here the other day. What, Thursday evening, I believe it was, like Thursday, wasn't it? To get their work done through, their paperwork and all that done through with the health department and everything. So, if everybody's got questions about what you can hook on to, now I understood him to say when they were over here that the city line's over there behind your folks' home over there.
No, it's sewer lines,
yeah,
yes.
Or sewer lines.
That we can hook on in the back.
That you could tap into them, which probably in some cases would save everybody quite a little bit of money there.
In our case, in our neighborhood.
Now, I don't know how close your house, your guys' house are to that.
You know where your well used to be. So if I come out and around, I'm going to be 4 feet from my well. And they got to dig down at least 15 feet, if not deeper. I'm going to have muddy water.
Right.
You're going to come out, make a left, and then down across. So it makes no sense that we can't just come off straight. We wouldn't even have to dig in the house. Just come off of the back, straight to the back fence, hook on, you're done. It's 68 feet.
That's something, you know, it just has to be worked out. Okay, well, we got a lot to talk about on that. Do you have anything else, Mr. Cook?
Anything from the audience?
Anything from the audience?
I make a motion to close.
Do you have a second?
Yes, I'll second it.
John?
John, you said
John.
Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry,
yes.
Yeah. But when he was here in that meeting last 2 weeks ago, they said yes, if we could. He said that we could tie it before we tied. First, Ken Dighton said yes. I said I wanted it in writing. And then he said no, we can't. And then here, I asked about that, and you asked about it, and you said it might be too deep, but yeah, and blah blah blah. But in here, it's on the tape that we can do it because I asked that 2 weeks ago, and they absolutely said yes.
See, they're just bouncing it. I don't trust the bugs anywhere. No, don't trust them at all.
Yeah.
Why are they making, you know?
Well, once you get your.
And this casino thing, you know, what in the world? Who the hell signed that contract and these lawyers we pay this money to? Why is that happening?
It's another thing in the old world. It's another thing that we're going over.
Right, but who knows?
Yeah.
Somebody has to know. Yeah. Somebody did it. Somebody knew what they were doing. Somebody knew.
According to what I'm hearing on that.
And, you know, how long did we